You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Come on, give God a praise. Give Him the highest praise. Hey, before you're seated, just tell the person next to you, oh no, he's back. Now, just before you see it, tell him, I hope he's better this time. Go ahead, sit down. I hope he's better this time. It is such a delight to be back with you. We love this place. You people are ridiculous. Ridiculous is a good word. You people are just off the hook. Just, it's good to, I miss you up here. Just so good to feel His presence. I thought Landon, since he hadn't been in here a month, was going to take off and take all my time. I hate you, Landon. Anyways, I love Heather. I hate you, Landon. Are you glad they're home? Come on. You were missed, but you have an incredible team that just functioned so beautifully and so anointedly, and just, it's just delightful to see what God's doing. Pastor Bob, good to see you, man. I was hoping you was here. Just, I want to honor you, and what you prepared for the season they're in was prepared by the season you were in, and God bless you for that. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Got to introduce my best friend. She's been hanging with me for a long time. Next April, we will have been, stand up, Jenny Kay. Next April, wait, stay there. Next April, we would have been married 50 years. Ridiculous. No, stand up. No, turn around. Turn around again. I just love doing that. I'm in charge right now. Turn around again. I'm the boss man for a few moments, and then I will be in heaven walking with Jesus. And Jesus will say, why did you tell her the third time to turn around again? That was the moment you were going to die. But thank you, Jan, for being a partner in ministry. You're my best friend. We just love doing ministry. We're now traveling all over the place, and we've relinquished. The Lord told us to lay down the mantle of lead senior pastor of a church, and now we're just all over Pittsburgh. We'll go from here to Orlando, back to California, all over the place, North Dakota in February. Tell the person next to you, he's an idiot. And just all kinds of wonderful opportunities, but you have something special in this house. I know you know that, but you need to hear it from somebody who doesn't, in fact, I got a question. Does it really happen every Sunday? I just every time we're here, it's like I lean over to Janet. It was like this last time, only it feels like you're even going to another level. It feels like Jesus from glory to glory to glory. Watch out, little Susie. We're taking off. That was a gospel hymn we sang years ago. It's just beautiful what the Lord's doing here. And I just need to pause and just honor Pastor Jasmine for the way you have stewarded the worship of this house. And the team that comes alongside you. We had the opportunity last night to be with Pastor Fidel and Pastor Starr at Mercy Culture Español, and it was a blast. Hola, ¿cómo estás? And all that kind of stuff. And that's all I know other than Yo Quiero, Taco Bell. And that was tongues. Let me give you the interpretation. Yo Quiero, Taco Bell. And just, it was a delightful time. But Pastor Jasmine, I was so amazed that there was no difference between the worship last night and the worship here. And let me tell you, it's Jesus, but Jesus uses people to steward that. And I just want to honor you for the way you have stewarded and created the culture of worship. I didn't get to watch you live because we were traveling. We're usually gone some week in ministry, but I got to on my run. I hate the Trinity Trail. On my run, mine is not the Trinity Trail. Mine is Twin Peaks. And it's not along a river, it's along a road, and you get scared half the time. But on my run one morning, I listened to the message, and it was just ridiculous. And I'm not just being sweet. There's a gift on you to communicate and articulate truth. And I just want to thank you for it. Just thank you for it. And I don't know where Pastor Matt is. Pastor Matt, he's probably, I don't know if his wife is still here. They were in the early service, but I got to hear him preach one of those Sundays, and just it was just delightful what God has built here and what God has done. Listen, I'm going to preach in a minute. I think they told me I get done at 2:15. But so I'm in charge now. Turn around one more time. So you need to understand what, I like how Jan says it. She's got me using this word. There is a recognizable anointing on this house. It's not just a feeling or an emotion or a nice little goosebump. It is a recognizable presence of God. And I want to honor you for maintaining that culture. I want to honor you, Pastor Landon and Heather, for leading this kind of culture. And allowing this to be, because this doesn't happen everywhere. We're traveling all over. Trust me, it's not everywhere. We've been in churches where I thought, what are they doing? Why are they meeting? It was just like, whoa, man. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Tell the person next to you, I was there once. Yeah. And I don't mean that unkindly. And I mean, we've been in some places where the worship, like, oh, man. And I'll lean over to Jan and I say, babe, are you feeling what I'm feeling? Yeah, it's rough. I said, babe, I got to tell you something. Hear my heart. I got to go to the bathroom. She said, what? I got to go to the bathroom. Can you? No, I got to go now. And you need to understand. I'm going to go to the bathroom and I'm not coming back. What do you mean? You got to come back. You're preaching. No, I'm not coming back. Here's my notes. Good luck. You're on your own. I'm telling you. It's special here. He's here. He likes his house. You see, you're not experiencing visitation. Yeah, we are. No, you're not. You're experiencing habitation. There's a vast difference between a visit and living with him. This is a house of habitation. That's why you're having the miracles. That's why they're getting healed in the foyer. Don't heal him in the foyer anymore. It needs to be in here where everybody gets. No, he's going to heal them all over the house. He's going to heal them during worship. Maybe a couple healings in the bathroom. Who knows what's going to happen around this place? It's crazy. Amen? Anybody glad you're in the house? Say this with me. Change of plans. I don't think there's not a one of us in this room that hasn't experienced a change of plans. You're all set. You're going to go a certain place, or you've got something planned, and you're going to do a certain thing, and it's already set. And then an unexpected circumstance, or maybe a phone call. If you've never had a change of plans, have a kid, have a child, get married, change of plans. And that's what's happened. For me this morning, I've experienced a change of plans, and the Lord was the one who changed them. I need to hasten to say my sermon was prepared. It was all ready. I could tell you what I was going to speak on. It was a masterful sermon. I'm convinced it probably would have been my best sermon ever preached. Pastor Landon, I will sell it to you for $1,000. Okay, I'll sell it to you for $750. Who give me $15 for that sermon? $15 going once, twice. Hey, dude, if you're going to raise both hands, I need $1,000, okay? It was a great sermon, and yet I had an early morning wake-up call. And I'm an early riser anyway, not because I'm spiritual, because I'm old. I need some old people to say amen. And I just wake up because I'm old and it's early. But this was one of those more earlier, sorry, English teachers, more earlier than I usually wake up. And I knew the moment I woke up out of a dead sleep, I knew it was the Lord. And I just had that feeling. And it's because it's happened before. And I literally said, Lord, my message is done, like he didn't know. Like, I finished it. I've worked on it all week long. I'm really excited. I really think I'm supposed to preach it. And it's like, no, Lord, you're not going to do what I think you're going to do. And I heard the Lord say, not audibly, but it's like I heard him say, son, I know you got it already, and it's a good one. That brought me a little comfort. In fact, I think it might be one of your best. But I need you to understand, I've got one better than yours. Somebody say amen. I say, excuse me, what I want to say is better than what you're gonna say. And how many vote we hear what he has to say? And so he changed everything. And so I'm laying in bed. I thought, well, you know, this we're leaving on a plane Friday at 11:30 out of Tucson. And it's, I don't know how early it was Friday morning, that same morning. And so I kind of sleep out of bed. Now I don't know where I'm going with this thing. And I slip out. I don't want to wake up Jan because turn around one more time. I don't want to wake up Jan because that wouldn't be healthy for my body. And so I kind of slip out. I have a little office in our home. I thought, well, what am I going to do? And so I just went to the office and I do the thing you ought to do when you don't know what to do. I do the thing you ought to do when you don't know what to do. Worship. Get in his presence. And I didn't. I knew he was changing it, and I knew I've walked with him long enough to know that his stuff is better than my stuff any day of the week. And so I said, okay. And I didn't even labor. I just said, Lord, then just speak while your servant is worshiping. And I just began to worship, and it's like you said, his presence just came. It's like the Trinity Trail. He shows up. And while I was worshiping, I wasn't laboring. I wasn't thinking, okay, I got to get something because, man, I'm leaving in just a few hours. I just lingered in his presence. And as the presence filled the room, anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. And I just lingered in his presence, and suddenly just images begin to come to my mind and phrases begin to come to my mind. I knew they were coming by my spirit. I don't know when God gave them to me, but sometimes he puts things in you even while you're sleeping. And thoughts and phrases and pictures begin to fill my spirit. And I begin to realize, Lord, you want to speak personally, say personally, and powerfully to this congregation. In fact, I want to be so bold to say, you had to be here this morning. In fact, I want to look at some of you who are the reason for me having to go through what I went through, and I hate you. And I want you to understand how significant these next number of moments are. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with what he wants you to hear. And so I want to challenge you what the Revelator was challenged by. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And though the vocal cords may be mine and the sounds may come from my lips, these are his words that he wants to speak to you, because there's something God wants to say to you. I know it's corporate, but there are individuals in this room that you need to hear what God has spoken to me for you. Somebody say amen. Tell the person next to you, don't miss out what God has to say. Tell him, don't miss out, because I believe you have an appointment with the Word. In fact, as I share what I feel God has put on my heart, I want to challenge you to do something. And I know you're a radical congregation, so this isn't going to be uncomfortable for you. But when you hear the Word, and if it resonates, if it speaks, as it quickens, I call it the Pillsbury nudge. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That little push in your spirit, and you realize that's mine. Say amen. Say, that's mine. Come on, can we be a little loose up in the house? You need to get loose. That first service was much better than you guys, I'm telling you right now. And I'm not just trying to be silly, but there's something powerful about agreeing with God's word. Say amen. Amen is not just some Christian little phrase we say after we pray blessing. Amen is a powerful spiritual concept and principle in the Word. When you say amen, you are saying, so be it. I agree with it. Watch this. I align with it. I say, let it happen. I say, yes, Lord. Somebody shout amen. So when you hear a word or you hear God say, that's yours, say, that's mine. Let's practice. That's mine. Oh, God, speak to us this morning. God, speak to us this morning. You ready? The first word was three words that literally woke me up. And when I heard them just audibly in my spirit, I mean, I was in a dead sleep. I don't know. It was probably about 2-something in the morning. I heard these three words. Listen to them. It's for people in this audience. I heard these words. You're coming out. You're ready, aren't you? The Lord told me to tell you, you're coming out. Say, I'm coming out. And when I heard it, I realized, and then I leaned into it, and the Holy Spirit reminded me of one of the most profound scenes in all of the Bible, when Moses has an encounter with God with a burning bush. He's out just kind of doing his thing. God's about to transition Moses from the shepherd of sheep to the shepherd of Israel. And while he's there, he sees a bush, and he sees that it's burning, and that's not that normal. And so he looks, and he says, I will turn aside. The moment he turned aside was his moment to realize God was about to say something. You know, when you learn to turn aside when God's moving is when you'll begin to hear him clearly. And so Moses turned aside, and in that moment, God begins to speak to him, and he says these words in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. You know the story. I have seen, say seen. I know where they're at. I know what they're going through. I know, and I just got to say to somebody in this house, he's seen what you're going through. He's not oblivious to your circumstance. He's not uncaring for the thing that you're navigating. He knows where you're at. Somebody say hallelujah. He says, I have seen the affliction. I love this next phrase. And I have heard, oh Jesus, I have heard the cry because of their oppressors. He not only sees, but he hears. There's not a prayer that you haven't prayed he didn't hear. There's not a cry that you haven't cried that he didn't hear. He says, I have seen and I have heard. I love this next phrase. And I have come. Say, he's come. And that's what he's done this morning. He's here. He's come. Why is he here? Because he's seen. Why is he here? Because he's heard. Because he's come to deliver you. He's come to set you free. One translation says, I have come to get them out. Say, I'm coming out. And that's a word over some of you. That's a word over many of you in this room, that the Lord says you're coming out of that night season. That season of darkness, that season of isolation, that season of difficulty where you haven't been able to see your way. The Lord says, chill out, son. Chill out, daughter. I've come to get you out of that night season. Somebody say amen. That wilderness you've been in, that barren place you've been in, that place of fruitfulness in your mind where you've been, he said, no, no, you're coming out of there. You're coming out to fulfill your prophecy. You're coming out to possess your promise. You're coming out. He says this, he says, where you've been isn't where you're staying. Come on. Tell the person next to you, I'm not staying here. Tell him, I'm not staying here. And you say back to him, I know I'm coming out too. I'm coming out. Where you've been? Oh, I feel so strong, Pastor Landon, that the Lord's ministering to people right now. That where you've been, what you've been going through, what you've been struggling with, what you've been wrestling with, what the enemy's been coming against you with, chill out, son and daughter. I know that sounds real simplistic, but he says, just chill, son. I got it. I mean, you sang it. You prophesied it. Is he in control? Is he in control? Where you need to learn to let him be in control when everything around you is out of control. Everything around you is turning upside down. Yeah, it looks bad. It looks like it's getting worse. But no, I will stand in his confidence that he's going to get me out. He's coming for some people this morning. He's coming after you. Shout out, coming out. He says, you're coming out into a new day, into a new place. Exodus says, I'll not only bring you out, but I'm going to bring you into a spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Milk and honey in Scripture is always symbolic of God's blessing, God's prosperity, God's grace, God's fullness. You're not just coming out, but he says in Exodus 3, verse 22, not only are you coming out, you're coming out blessed. You're coming out blessed. If you know the story, they literally took the resources of Egypt with them. They had been taken advantage of. Let me tell you, where you've been taken advantage of, God says, I'm going to replace to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. You're coming out. You're coming out blessed. You're going to break out, and you're going to break through. Micah chapter 2, verse 13. It's such a powerful passage. For the Lord of the breakthrough. Say breakthrough. For the Lord of the breakthrough, I love this, will shatter all your confinements. All those restrictions. Anybody glad you're here? There's some of you in the room right now, the Holy Spirit's whispering in the ear, this is your word, this is your word, this is your word. The thing that has confined you, the thing that has restricted you, where you feel like you've been in prison, the Lord said, that's all right, I'm the Lord of the breaker. The breaker is in the house. The breaker anointing's in the house. He says, you're going to break out. You're coming out of shame. That garment of shame's coming off of you. What was done? I feel the heart of God right now. What was done to you that's caused great shame? I'm just listening. There's an individual, and the shame of your family has followed you. You haven't even done what happened in your family, but the shame of what happened in your family has followed you. The Lord says, "That's you're in a new family. You're in a new family. And my family has no shame." Somebody say, no shame. And you're coming out of shame. I heard this one. You're coming out of rejection. And that rejection has been like a shackle around your heart and a shackle around your emotions. Watch this. And a shackle against relationships. And every time you try to move into a relationship, rejection. But you're coming out of that rejection today. Supernatural. This is the year of what? The supernatural. And supernaturally, God's going to take you out of that whole shame. And you're coming out of regret. And you're coming out of fear. And you're coming out of, oh, I like this one, accusations. God's talking. It's my vocal cords. It's his word. Accusation is coming off of you. The lie. We sang it this morning. I just love the Holy Spirit collating the whole service. I'm seeing things in the worship words. I'm going, that and that and that and that. It's neat how that flows. We spoke about the lie is going to be shattered. You're coming out of the lies that have been spoken over you. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never do anything good. Our family never does this. Our family doesn't do that. You're in a new family. You have a new kindred. Somebody say amen. You're not the old creation. You're a new creation. Old things pass away. Say, I'm coming out. Out of shame, out of regret, out of abandonment. You're coming out of sickness. So interesting that Pastor Landon had us pray. I knew the Lord was going to be doing some healing. He's not done, because there's some of you, it is a long-term sickness that you've just, not because you don't believe necessarily, but because you're weary with waiting, you've just thought, I guess this is the way it'll always be. I break that lie off of you in Jesus' name. I don't apologize for my boldness. It's not arrogance. It's confidence and conviction that the one who can deliver you is in the house, and he's come to break long-term. You're coming out of long-term sickness in Jesus' name. You're coming out. You're coming out blessed. The Lord quickened a very profoundly powerful scene in my spirit as I was leaning into the Lord, just getting these downloads unloaded to my mind. And he brought me to a scene that's interesting, Pastor. You talked about Mary and Martha. This scene revolves around Mary and Martha and a brother who has died, John chapter 11. You know the story. The word gets to Jesus. See, Jesus, it said Jesus loved Lazarus. He would often go to their home to repose and to retreat and to be refreshed. There was an intimacy in their relationship. And so Martha sent him a text and said, "Jesus, you need to hurry and come. Our brother Lazarus," she says, "your friend." That's not a manipulation. That's just a reminder of who he is to you. "He's gravely sick. Come quickly." Why? Because they knew he was a healer. They knew he could do miracles. And it said in the text, if you read it there in John, it said Jesus waited 4 days. The implication is he waited on purpose. You can almost see some of the disciples, "Jesus, Martha just sent word. Lazarus is real sick. They think he's near death. I got it." It's hard when you want God to do something now and he tells you, "I got it. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? I got it covered. But Jesus, you got to hurry." "I got it covered." "No, but Jesus, if you don't hurry, chill." Tell the person next to you, "Chill out." Some of you need to chill out. And you need to trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. But in all your ways, in all your times, acknowledge him. Recognize he's Lord. Here we go. We're going to sing again. He's in control when everything's out of control. Has anybody been in one of those circumstances? How many are in one of those right now? I got a word for you. Chill. And Jesus waits. Why? Because Jesus knows if he comes on their timetable, they will miss what God has planned for them. If God always answered your prayer when you wanted him to answer your prayer, you would miss a glorious moment with him. God is setting up a greater miracle. Oh, that is so good. I think I'll say amen all by myself. God is setting up something that you won't see if you got to have it in your time. You've got to trust. You've got to believe. You've got to rest in his sufficiency and his sovereignty. And so Jesus says, "I got it, guys." And they're wondering what. But they have no idea that a great miracle is about to happen that will change their lives forever. And I'm going to speak prophetically. Something God has ahead for you, but you need to rest in the ability of God to do it in his way. Anybody need that word? Say amen. Rest in it. He could have come 4 days earlier and did a little, "You'll feel better, take some cough medicine, take a couple Advil, and everything will be okay." I don't understand always. Sometimes God will let something die. I'm talking to somebody. The dream, the promise, the thing you hoped for, and now it's dead. It's not just dead, it's buried. And sometimes God, in his great wisdom, knowing a greater thing will happen, will let a thing die to produce something that'll change your life forever. Mary and Martha will never be the same again. They're about to see the precursor to the resurrection, because Jesus says, "I need you to understand, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Death has no power when I show up." Say, "I'm coming out." And I don't say this lovelessly or uncaringly or without the shepherd's heart. I say it with a shepherd's heart. Some of you have been living in the tomb. Some of you have been buried the hope, buried the prophecy. Some of you, Pastor Landon, there is such revelation in this room right now. And I just appreciate, again, I'm not just trying, you love me, so I don't need to get you to love me. But I just need to honor the fact that this house has created a culture where revelation is so prevalent and so easy to see. It's so easy for it. I'm hearing all kinds of stuff up here. I'm holding myself back. I just want to walk through this audience and go, you. You're coming out. You too. You're coming out. No. You. Hey, the whole family's coming out. It's so free. It's so liberating to be in this kind of atmosphere. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give him a praise. Oh, he's so worthy. I'm about to go on a justice run right now. Come on. Oh. And by the way, I'll digress. Since we're talking about a justice run, you better show up, because now we look like our schedule's free. I'm going to show up, and I'll show some of you up. This puppy can run, man. This puppy can run. And I just got me the justice top and the justice pants. Watch out, little Susie. Here I come. You're just an old man. Old man can learn new tricks. This old dog can learn some new tricks. Such revelation in this room. And you've buried it. Oh, you love the Lord. You're committed to Jesus. You're here. But you don't want to think about that thing. And even while I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit's bugging you. He's reminding you. You laid that down. You gave up on that promise. You let go of that prophecy. You've decided that ministry is not yours. You've decided you've missed your season. Oh, you love me. You're going to serve me. But that thing you dreamed about, that thing. In fact, this is what I heard. Some of you as a young child got a prophecy over you. As a young child, especially as a young lady, as a young child, a young girl in a church, were prophesied over some significant things. And life has been hard and circumstances have been difficult. And the devil's tried to steal that because he knows who you really are. And God's beginning to stir up in you. And today he's coming to your tomb. Today he's coming to your grave. Today he's coming to the place you buried. And he's saying, Lazarus, come forth. I wish I knew your name, but the Lord's standing at some tombs this morning. He's saying, come on out of there. Come on out of there. This is your day. This is your season. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Say, I'm coming out. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. This is another word I heard in the first service, and I have to repeat it because I'm hearing it again. But the Lord wants me to say to somebody in this room, and it's more than a handful, the Lord wants to say, he's not done with you. He's not done with you. I met an individual between these services. He began to weep, and he said, I thought God was done. I thought I had disqualified myself. I thought I had failed so miserably that I could never be used again. But it's called amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Come on, somebody say amen. And God is a God of redemption. God is a God of redeemer. He redeems. He redeems when you've been abused. He redeems when you've been taken advantage of. He redeems when someone has pushed away your gift and didn't receive it. And there's somebody in the room that you've thought in your mind, I'm done. God's done with me. But the Lord said, I'm not done. My gifts and my calling and my purposes without repentance, irrevocable. I haven't changed my mind. I haven't changed my mind about you, but now I'm 60, now I'm 70. Talk to Moses, he'll tell you. He was way over 60, he was way over 70. The devil has told you, you're too old. The devil tells you, you're too old or you're too young. I got a word for you. Jesus stands at the tomb and says, come on out, come on out. Let's get together, let's work on. Let's get this thing rolling. I still have a plan. Oh, am I helping anybody in here? Whew, I feel his presence. I love this house. Shout, I'm coming out. Quickly, I gotta hurry because I'm not gonna get through. I gotta get this one because this was important. The Lord spoke these words. I heard these words. This is when I got to my office and I was just lingering in his presence. I love his presence. That's why daily encounters are so important, Pastor. I don't need to preach it. You say it every Sunday. Mercy culture is taking people from corporate encounters to personal intimate encounters. I say it here every Sunday. Like, can you come up with something new, man? Come on, come on. I would like the creative department to help this guy. He says the same thing every week. Hey, it's like this every week. Come on, come up with something new, man. And for heaven's sakes, get some socks. He's still going without socks. Can you imagine what those tennis shoes smell like? I'm telling you right now. They need to go in the tomb with Lazarus. I'm telling you right now. I will say the other day I preached without socks. But I had that little thing, what do you call them? Yeah, no shows. I had those on. And they kept going off, man. It's kind of weird. They'd crumble up, and I'd feel like, man, what's in the... Jan, stand up and turn around one more time. This next one is so powerful. Hallelujah. I don't know if that's a hallelujah. I'm almost done. Hallelujah. Can I just digress for a moment? Don't shake your head no at me. I saw that. Just for a moment, because I said God's a redeemer. And last night, yesterday, Friday evening, and yesterday in Espanol, and this morning, my wife and I were so touched by people we saw that God has redeemed painful circumstances. I wept this morning during worship, and you know what I'm talking about. I won't say anything, but he knows, and she knows. And I wept because I saw God, how he redeems. You're a house of redemption. You're a house that takes discarded and abused people and gives them hope again, gives them a place again. If you'll maintain that, I'll prophesy, if you'll maintain that, you won't have enough building to house people. You'll have to go whatever you got to do. You'll have to have multiple campuses. And I'm not saying that as like, wow, because I'm not into that stuff. You're going to have to, because people are looking for a place that's safe where they can be redeemed. You know what I'm talking about. I saw you this morning. You blessed me. I heard you this morning. You blessed me. The next word, and I'm going to wrap it up because we got to go, but it's a good word. I'll come back and give the rest of the words later. That's how I keep coming back. I got 18 words. I'll be here for the next 18 months. Which if I can digress again, sorry for the next digression, but Pastor Matt, I'm excited to be a part of the, I'm excited that Pastor Matt's not in here. Well, why aren't you down front while I'm preaching? What kind of staff are you raising up in here? Forget it. I had a good word for you. I'll just forget it. I'm so excited, Pastor Matt, that I get to be a part on a monthly basis, Spiritual Leadership School. I'll be here once a month, Jan and I, to minister. I'm so excited about the school. It's going to be off the hook. It's going to be ridiculous. Amen? Amen. Last word. Where's my keyboardist? Yeah, get a move on. You should have known already. It grieves me that people aren't following the Spirit when I'm preaching. Hallelujah. If you're watching online, it's like this every week. And by the way, you that are watching online, this word's for you. Because I got a word for you. Jesus makes house calls. Jesus makes house calls. So I don't know what camera I'm supposed to be looking at because I don't see a camera, but I just need to tell you that what you just heard is you're coming out. And some of you are going to come out of your house and get back into the house. Because you need to be in the house. You may be in another city, I understand, but if you're in Fort Worth, you need to be in the house because there's nothing like being in this place at this time. So I want to exhort you. You're coming out. Say you're coming out. Tell them they're coming out. And I heard this word, it was so precious. I heard these four words. Tell them, Sunday, tell them you passed the test. I don't know who that's for. I know it's more than a handful. But I need to tell you, God changed everything about what I was going to preach to tell you you're coming out and to tell you, whoever you are, you've passed the test. And here's the thing. You didn't even know it was a test. You just thought it was a circumstance. You just thought it was a difficulty. You just thought it was a, man, I don't like this. You just thought, why is this happening? And the whole time, God was saying, he didn't tell you, it's a test. And what you've been going through and what you've been encountering and what you've been experiencing is simply a test. Somebody would say a test, and you didn't know it was a test. I wish God would let us know when he's going to test us. Some of you will remember this because you're old like me, but when I was a young boy and I'd watch cartoons when I was a little kid, every now and then they would interrupt the cartoon and there would be this thing on there and it'd say, "We interrupt this program to test the emergency broadcast system." How many remember those days? Yeah, a lot of old people here. Anyways, and then there would be this beep for 60 seconds. And it frustrated me because I'm a little kid. Say, "Oh, well, come on. And I'm looking up, and then it'd go off. "You have just heard the alarm for the emergency broadcast. If you hear this," but it opens with, "This is a test." And then it ends with, "This was a test." And I just wish God would do that. "Zane, I just need to let you know, for the next 60 years, no, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. "Son, this will be a test." But he doesn't do that, because if you know it's a test, you act different. You act real. But when you don't know it's a test, and by the way, if I can just pause, digress another moment, if I could just digress a moment and remind you, God doesn't test you for his benefit. God's not testing you to find out what's in your heart. God's not testing you to find out what kind of character you have. God's not testing you to find out how committed you are. If God doesn't know what's in your heart, you got the wrong God. Come on. Like somebody go, "Really? Yeah, he already knows." He wants you to know what's in your heart. And the way you find out what you got is to be tested when you don't know you're tested. Tester for two reasons, to reveal and to refine. They're to reveal what you got or don't got, and you need to work on it. And they're to refine and sharpen the skills you already have. Testing is a wonderful tool of discovery. Some of you never knew you could do what you're doing if God didn't put you in a test. That's why James says, "Count it all joy when you get into divers testings." What? I want to punch that guy in the face. I'm not joyous that but knowing this, understanding that once you've been tested, I love you, Trey. I just love you so much. I'm so proud of you and Morgan. After you've been tested and you've been matured, you are ready for service. And the Lord told me to tell you that what you've been going through was just a test. Tell the person next to you, it's just a test. And God reminded me of the story of Joseph. What a story. He's one of my favorite patriarchs of the Old Testament. He has this wonderful dream, has this incredible prophecy. He's going to be a great man, and he's going to be a great leader, and he's young, and he's probably not real smart, and he told his brothers, you shouldn't be telling your brothers some things. He said, "Hey, guys, I had this dream that all of you are going to bow down to me." That's not good. In a very competitive family. I can almost hear God go, "Oh, Joe, what are you doing? Oh." And you know the rest of the story. The brothers didn't really like it. And you probably wouldn't. I mean, how would you like it if your brother comes up, the younger brother, "Hey, dude, you're going to bow down to me, man. Now, I got two things to say to you. One, two, bam. I'm not bowing down to you." And you know the story. They throw him in the pit. They were going to kill him, but Reuben, the oldest, says, no, let's at least just put a lot of blood on him and throw him in the pit and make it look like, and so we can tell Dad he died. And then the Midianites, I think it was the Midianites, come by and they sell him into slavery, and then he gets sold to the Potiphar's house. Things seem to be getting better. Potiphar likes him. Everything's going good. Here comes a test. Tell the person next to you, "Uh-oh, here comes a test." He doesn't know it's a test, but here she comes. The test was named Potiphar's wife. And it said every day. It's tough when the test is every day. But sometimes God tests you deeply. Oh, this is a revelation. Oh, it's all over in this place. Sometimes God tests you deeply because of the level of influence you're going to have later on. Sometimes the test, oh, that'll preach. If you tweet that, that's mine. Sometimes God tests you commensurate to where he's taking you. See, Landon and Heather, that's why you went through what you went through, all that you went through. Yeah, I know it wasn't fun. I know it was long. And I don't know how much you've shared, but I'm just going to tell you up front. That's why. That's why. Because God knew this was coming. And God knew he needed to test you, because test refines and releases and prepares. He needed to get you ready for what you would deal here. And the blessing you're walking in now is because you passed the test back then. You kept your heart right. You loved and not cursed. You blessed and not cursed. You spoke kindly without, you could have spoke harshly. No, you guarded. Oh, come on. I'm talking to somebody. If you just shut your mouth and stop complaining and let God work, you probably get out of the test a lot quicker. I think I'm preaching good right now. If you just trust God in the test, if you just figure out probably anything you're going through is either the devil or God testing you or the devil trying to defeat you. It's just a test. And they throw him in Potiphar's and he passes that test. And here's what's tough. When you do right and you're done wrong. Thank you, Lord, for that sign. Did right. Sweetheart, you ain't mine, and I'll see you later. It's going to cost you your job. My God already has another job. It could cost you your career. No. My times are in the Lord's hands. I'm not going to compromise my integrity with my father. Moses said it this way, I'm not going to try to enjoy the sins for a season and sacrifice. I'm not going to give up my birthright for portage. Some of you are being tested deeply, and I need to encourage you. And it's not easy because we've been through it. I could tell you some stories. Betrayal, assaults, attacks, hate, lies. Just recently, some of the deepest pain we've ever had to navigate. And every now and then he'll remind me, it's just a test. It's just a test. I could have given up. You could have given up. Like Joseph, he didn't. In fact, while Joseph's in the prison, he serves. One of the tests is, will you serve when you're abused? Will you serve when you're ignored? Will you serve? Or are you only going to serve when you get the applause and the kiss on the cheek and the pat on the butt? Are you only going to serve when you feel like it's convenient? No. You understand the story. He even used his gifts. You got to learn to bloom where you're planted. Every prophecy has a process. Every prophecy has a test. And you know the story. I got to hurry. This is a good sign. I'm wrapping it up. God's in this place, Pastor. Something's about to break. Everything we've experienced was a prelude and just a precursor to what's about to happen. Get ready. Because when the test was over, God said, you've passed the test. And Joseph has no idea how he got where he is. He's standing in front of a Pharaoh. He eventually becomes second in command, and he's a Jew in Egypt, Hebrew. And he's standing there. He's wondering, how did I get here? You passed the test. And you know what happens when you pass the test? See, the Lord told me to tell you, you've passed the test. You know what follows the testing? Promotion. And God's about ready to open. You sing it, Trey. God's about ready to open doors. God's about ready to bring release. You're going to move into a level of favor because you passed the test. Say, I passed the test. No, I know you don't think so. God told me to tell you, you passed the test. And promotion's coming. And a new season's coming. And new blessings coming. Because you've stayed faithful in another's field, God's going to give you your own field. Hallelujah. Come up here. Isaac, help her all the way up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jan, I want you in a moment. My wife, if it sounds arrogant, you don't know us, has such a breaker anointing on her. I use the word traffic, not in a super, but she just moves in a breaker anointing. And babe, I want you in a moment. I just feel like God wants to break some things loose in here. If you're here, real quick, if you're here and you say, Pastor Zane, I'm coming out this morning. I want you to stand right now. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. That word was for me. I'm coming out. Whatever it is, whatever tomb, whatever grave, whatever circumstance has been, you're coming out. You're coming out. But you're not just coming out. You're coming out blessed. You're coming out to a new season, to a new time, to a new place. Spacious. Blessing. Blessing. Prosperity. Prosperity is not about money. Prosperity is about success. You're coming out. You're coming out. Jen, I want you to pray a breaker over them right now. Just lift your hands and receive it.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Father, we thank you this day that you have spoken your word to each one that is standing in this house. And Lord, with your word comes your power. So we now call upon the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus. And Lord, we break open every person in this place and we say, as it breaks over your life, you come forth, you come. Father, we say, you call them out of the tomb, you resurrect them from the grave, that which was dead now lives. We say your resurrection life, your resurrection truth releases in them. Father, I hear you saying right now that some have been in the tomb of religion, and you are calling them out of the form of godliness into the true godliness of your power and of your life, God. So this day, Lord, your sons and your daughters stand with their hands lifted up and they say, they are out. They will not remain.
Yes.
They move into what you have provided, what you have promised, what you have spoken today.
Now, I want us to do something that's not hard for this church because you follow directions well. But the Lord whispered in the earlier service, and I heard it again, that wall of confinement, that thing that's tried to keep you back, that stone in front of the tomb, that the walls of Jericho came down when they shouted. And I want to lift a shout, 5, 6, 7, however long. Just, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Come on, lift it. I'm coming out.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.